Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we are here again for another week of our Turning Towards Life conversation. And you are all so welcome to be with us, whether you have just found your way or stumbled your way to this, or maybe you've been with us for the 5+ years since we began. You're all equally welcome. And Lizzie, as always, I'm joyful and glad and filled with hope and possibility of being with you. And thank you so much for choosing this wonderful source that you've brought to us. I'm going to hand to you to say whatever you want to say.
Thank you, Justin. Well, as you said that, I've just remembered that this week I met one of our listeners, community members, people who are in it with us. And it was so sweet because when I met him, he said, "I know you already. I listened to Turning Towards Life." I said, "Well, if you know me, then I already know you." It's just this really sweet thing. And obviously, we'd never actually looked each other in the eye or whatever. And so it was a really lovely reminder of all of the places that this is landing. And it's just a wonder to me that that happens. So I'm really grateful for that. And today we have the legendary David White, the lovely poet. One of his pieces of writing from his book Essentials, and it's called Working Together. So I'm going to read it as we normally do, Justin, and then you can read it and we'll see how this unfolds as usual. And if you're new to us here, just so that you know, this isn't a rehearsed thing or something. This is a live and straightforward conversation between us. And actually, maybe it's worth saying, Justin, the way that this got born in us is that we were on a train once having a really excellent conversation, and we both felt like the world could join in with us and it would be wonderful, and that it was too big a conversation to only land between two people, that it would be beneficial to other people to be right there at the train table with us, hooning past wherever we're hooning past, talking about wonderful things. And that was quite a while ago now. But one of those moments, like I have in my life, where I remember all of the things about it. I remember the moment on the train and the table that we sat at and the conversation. I don't even know the content of it, but I remember the moment of being in the conversation and thinking, oh, this should be wider than this. So, and in some way that kind of is what this poem is about too. So this is called Working Together by David White. We shape ourselves to fit this world, and by the world are shaped again. The visible and the invisible working together in common cause to produce the miraculous. I'm thinking of the way the intangible air passed at speed round a shaped wing easily holds our weight. So may we in this life trust to those elements we have yet to see or imagine, and find the true shape of our own self by forming it well to the great intangibles about us.
Thanks, Lizzie. So I'll read it too. Working together. We shape ourselves to fit this world, and by the world are shaped again. The visible and the invisible working together in common cause to produce the miraculous. I am thinking of the way the intangible air passed at speed round a shaped wing easily holds our weight. So may we in this life trust to those elements we have yet to see or imagine, and find the true shape of our own self by forming it well to the great intangibles about us.
Thanks, Justin. So as you read this to me, Justin, I feel wrapped in the comfort of knowing the story that I have about what's going on isn't everything. There's something about this that remembers me to the forces, the beings, the life that are not in my perception in an ordinary way. which I can orient to life with. So things that I'm worried about, things that I'm unsure about, things that are difficult, relationships that are difficult, decisions to be made, all of those ordinary things of life, when I forget the intangibles about me, seem really scary and constraining and worry-inducing even further. And then as I breathe into this poem and this invitation from David, the capacity for a deep breath comes about me. And I remember that I'm shaped and will be shaping my life, myself also, in relationship to these forces that I can't see and that aren't mine necessarily, the small version of me. And it gives me great faith. And it's, and of course it's true, isn't it? Like when I look at back at anything, so many, many times things happen that are not in my perception of what was possible. Like, and that kind of goes for the whole of my life in a way when I get honest about it. Like I, of course I made some plans, like I don't know, booked a train ticket because I was going to go somewhere, but there are the bones of it. But then what actually happens and what actually unfolds is quite obviously made from intangibles, you know, intangible to me at the time, for sure. And also always intangible too. So I feel like there's a way to have, I mean, we use the word faith so much in these conversations, but it brings a feeling of faith to me, like faith in the unfolding, that I couldn't possibly know how it's going to work or what's going to happen. Like at the moment, Justin, we're thinking that Vesper's going to go to like a kindergarten. And of course, you know, mums putting their children into other people's hands is a huge thing. And this poem at the moment really reminds me that there's so much happening that I can't see that's going to be supportive and shaping. And the world will be shaped by the way it all happens as well. And so breathing into that and allowing that faithfulness to come forth in really big transitions as well in my life feels so helpful and guiding and expanding from when it can feel like a real worry or a concern or a constraining kind of tension and anxiety in me. This kind of loosens the binds and okay, there's much more happening than my little fearful popcorn kernel of a self can even perceive here. Can I breathe into that? Can I expand into that? And can I let it shape me, like consciously let it shape me rather than only let my small thoughts and worries shape me?
Such a thing, Lizzie, as I hear you talk about this last part, to find a way to be in relationship with that which is bigger than ourselves, to find what in it we can trust. And I know that it's not possible to trust everything in what's bigger than ourselves, at least from the perspective of our own individual selves. Like who knows what will happen? We don't have to look very far to see all the situations where I suppose you might say that the great intangibles that David White is writing about show up in a way which is insanely difficult for people. But of course, that's not the only way to see what's here, that for something to be a great intangible means that it's going to be filled with gifts and difficulties, you know, hopes and uncertainties. And I could feel in myself as you were talking, this feeling of letting go of my certainty that I'm separate from the world. Like it's so easy to be in the world from a point of view of there's me, realist thing, because that's what I experience most fully, you know, most immediately all the time is this point of view that's me, and then some kind of separation and the world, and somehow it's me either either I'm against the world and fighting with it and trying to get on top of it or underneath it or whatever it is and to try to have it exactly my way, or I'm being defeated by it. But either way, there's some kind of separateness. And as you were talking about taking Vespa, the possibility of finding a way that Vespa gets held and cared for by others in this way that you're talking about, I could start to feel the vast web of the world that's also holding us all the time. Like, it's really extraordinary to think about what even makes it possible for a kindergarten to come together. There have to be relationships between the people who form the collective that has it happen, and they have to be in relationships that support them, and those relationships then extend back as far back in time to the beginning of life and before to make all of that possible. And then there have to be people who know how to build buildings and to plumb them and heat them, and then there has to be systems of distribution energy, and there have to be systems of in a society to help keep people safe, and there's all these things that have to happen, and no one of us can make any of them. No one of us knows how to make any of them. And in fact, I was reading something about this week that's, I think, must be so intimately related to this poem of David White's, that there are, in the world these days, there are very few things that one person knows how to make on their own. Because even if you know how to build a house, you need someone who can have grown the trees to make the wood, and you're not going to have done that. And you're going to, so we are so, for every single thing that we do, we are so not only dependent on, but participating in and enmeshed in something that is vast and ancient, and is being brought about not by any one person's will. So I tend to lean to the more mystical end of these, and maybe I'll say some things about that as we're talking, but even in the most like tangible, just look at the physical stuff of us around in the world, we are so obviously, if we'll let ourselves look, like supported in the way, as David White says, that the intangible air passed at speed round a wing holds our weight. But I'm not sure that's easy to see, and it might not be easy to see because of the sort of background philosophical stance of our culture, but also just because it's so easy to experience myself as ending where my body ends. Like, it just seems kind of obvious. I've got this inner experience, and that seems to be me, and then my skin ends somewhere, and so that the rest of it isn't me and isn't separate from me. But I couldn't even begin to be me without participating in all of the things that I've just said. I wouldn't even be a person without being in the intangible of it. So then it's such a question, it seems to me, for David White to say our work is to get that we can barely imagine what all of that is. We can only see very, very small parts of it, and to form to shape our lives well to the situation that we find ourselves in is just a kind of a huge relief in my body to feel that, oh, so my job isn't to win, and it isn't to climb to the top, and it isn't to be safe, and it isn't to get it right, and it's to shape myself by forming it well to this vastness that is participatory and relational and filled with the care of billions over generations and beyond. That's my work.
I love this, Justin. As you're talking, firstly, I'm appreciating the power of the way that David uses language that somehow throws me into, use the word mystical, like throws me into a kind of relationship with what is mystical, what is intangible, because of the way he uses his words. I mean, that to me is a total miracle that that's even possible from human to human, to launch people's perception or understanding of themselves into different realms because of using a few short sentences. I love that. And you know, you're focusing on this last paragraph of finding the true shape of our own self by forming it well to the great intangibles about us. I feel drawn. I feel like I can see what it means to shape myself by forming the self well to the great intangibles. Like for me, it's like, you know, you said it's so easy to feel like we're separate and my skin is where everything ends. Like that feels very habitual and like a normal daily experience for me. But I also know I'm able to question that boundary very well. And this sense of being able to form myself to the intangibles, like it seems to me like a very straightforward way of allowing the self, this self, to be different to how I perpetually habitually imagine and keep remaking myself. So there's like a shard of light comes into the cycle of the remaking of myself, which obviously happens all the time, and the world is shaping me as I am shaping it and being shaped by it. Like that's happening all the time, kind of invisibly. But then when I get this feeling of forming this self to the great intangibles, I feel like there's a break in that chain, almost a break in that cycle for me, where I get to include something else that isn't, I mean, the word something isn't even the word to use, but include other realms that don't feel to me like they're my habitual definition of myself or the habitual boundaries that I hold about being a human being. And that feels extremely liberating to me. Like I could, hold on a second, I can grow. Like just sitting here, I feel grown. I feel like there's an opening of redefining the boundaries of what I am, what I exist as in the world. That yes, I'm this inner world that you spoke of, Justin, and yes, I'm this body. And there are many more forces at play that I can include, and not even knowing what they are is okay. It's just a feel, like a sense of something broader, something bigger, something more expanded than my separateness is here, and it can be trusted and it can be followed. And I don't need to know everything. I don't need to pin it all down. I don't need to make sure everything's all right. There are forces at play that who knows what are inside them. And it's not really the question of whether they're like good or bad. It's just that there are things that aren't down to me happening all the time. And I love this analogy of even if I build a house, I didn't make the trees. You know, even if you push it really far, there will always be something that you didn't make or that you didn't have a hand in that you're reliant on. And you don't even know the origins of it, really. Like we're fully reliant on things we have no idea about. We may have an idea about what it looks like, but what it took to get that to be that way, we just don't know. So this feeling that I'm relying on all the intangibles, all the things I don't know, is a big shift of understanding of what's actually going on, even if I can't define it in all of the definition that might be possible. Just to know that there's so much in support of me or in shaping of me that I've got no idea about feels like I'm connected to something much bigger that is not of the order to be controlled by me, thank goodness. There's nothing to do. There's just an invitation to participate and have a go and feel faithful, because it's not like when I feel formed by the great intangibles, if I tried to grasp it would be hopeless anyway. So I just stop that and find myself present and open.
I was as you were talking, I could feel in me this very strong sense of even how all of this is present in you and I talking to one another for half an hour on a Sunday morning. And how it occurred to me, you were talking about sort of in a way being able to lean into what's the vastness of what's here and what's happening, because know that it's way bigger than you.
Mm.
And sometimes we'll experience that as deeply supportive, like all the ways that we're supported that we didn't know. And sometimes we'll experience it, of course, as overwhelming because it's so much bigger than us and we get thrown about by it. You know, my own individual will that I want X to happen and Y is happening. It's not up to me. So there's so when we're together and talking in this way, one way to be in it, and I can feel the parts of me that want to be in it this way, that sort of push and strain, because I think it's the predominant story of these times for so many of us is the way to be in anything is by effort and by forcing. In fact, any of us who work anywhere, and if we don't work in a sort of like a recognized job where we get paid for things, we're up to something else in the world, still the story that your worth is to do with how much effort you put in is very, very, very strong. It's the story of efforting. I have to force and make, and I will get measured and seen for how hard I pushed and for how hard I made things and all those kind of, and I can feel that when I'm in conversation with you, of course, I could take up that position. I could be in this conversation in a sort of, I have to plan it. I have to even be planning it whilst you're speaking, like planning what I'm going to say next. And that immediately separates me from being in relationship with you. And then, of course, the vastness of the world that is sort of behind and around you, and the vastness of the world that's behind around me and this around we're both in and we're all in. So I can effort and try to have the conversation go a particular way and look clever or be complete or know what I'm talking about or impress people who are listening with us, or, you know, I can do any of those kind of things, all of which separate me. Or what I can do is I can really let go of trying to have it be a particular way and to go, I am in relationship with all of this. I'm in relationship with you, but I'm also in relationship with the great intangibles that are all around us. It's not even just me and you doing this, because we could get into that same thing, like you and I could be doing a thing and sort of efforting together to bring it about. This conversation itself is arising because we have David's words and everything that it took for David to be the kind of person who could write this and get it into our hands. And then also because of the ones that we are, who have grown and become ourselves in the midst of the great intangibles. And then this moment in human history on a Sunday morning when we meet and we're also being shaped by everything inside us and everything around us. And I'm saying it really deliberately because it's really true that it seems to me that's one of the many things that is life-giving about this conversation is that, and now here I want to shift from the sort of into something that's more poetic, I suppose, or more mystical sounding, which is to say, well, in its very particular way, in this very particular form, life is making itself known here between us, in what you say and what I say and how I listen and how you listen. And we never know. We actually never know. I don't know now what the end of this sentence is. Right, and here it is making itself known. And so David's question is, which I find so moving now at this moment, is can we let ourselves find the true shape of ourselves by being in relationship with this great intangible? By, he says, forming it well, and I suppose you could read that as a sort of an act of effort, but I want to read it as an act of relationship or responsiveness. I'm being made. I'm different because I'm with you now. I'm changing, I'm becoming, by doing what I can to be formed by the great intangibles that are present in us and between us as we're together.
Mm. Yeah. What that opens for me, Justin, is this, we shape ourselves to fit this world and by the world are shaped again. Within that, there's, I and the kind of beings that we are, we have conscious choice. So I can make selections as to what I intend to be shaped by. Like I can intend to be shaped by and actively choose to be shaped by the intangibles. I can also choose to be shaped by fear or worry or anxiety, and frequently I do, you know, but somehow owning that as a choice is quite a something for me in this realm. Like, oh, I can, if I see that I'm choosing to be shaped by my worry about something, I can acknowledge that and be with that and know that I have also some other choices. It might not take away the worry or get rid of the worry or something, which part of me might want, but I can build my intentions. I have a way of saying, oh, so there's these intangibles about me. I can intend to be shaped by them. I can let them shape me. Like there's a way that I feel like so much it feels like we're shaped by the world, we're shaped by the world, we're shaped by the world. This we shape ourselves part seems to be coming to the fore here for me. Like it's very easy for me to see how I'm shaped by the world. You know, we study it all the time, like all of the cultural soup that we're swimming in, we're noticing what it, how it often takes away my sense of being able to shape myself because of the powerful narratives that exist in our culture, wherever we are in the world, whatever we're doing, there are ways to be and ways not to be. And somehow, you know, awakening to what that is brings the chance to awaken to what I can shape myself as, given that I know all of that's happening. I can wake up to the fact that I get to do some shaping too, because the world and I aren't separate from each other. And so I'm feeling this kind of uprising with what you're saying of, oh, so I can build some really strong intentions of what I want to form this self to. Part of that is intangibles, part of it is goodness. You know, I notice that when you talk, I often think, my goodness, the world, yes, there's lots of mess, but I experience its inherent goodness. And that happens all the time, like unexpected goodness flows somewhere where someone stops and says something to me in the street, or a flower looks so stunning to me that how can I not stop? Or the light is in such a way, or there's an expression on someone's face that I can't even bear because it's so beautiful. Like there are, and I can choose that that's where I put my wish to be shaped by. I can let that face shape me. I can let that flower shape me. I can form myself to that flower and have that be the way I'm shaped today. And then that creates a different kind of cycle than the habitual one that might be made of worry and concern and fear and catastrophizing. And of course, that's, you know, my pattern of going really far down the catastrophic road, and it takes some undoing. But thankfully, there's cultivation of a relationship to goodness and to benevolence and to universal human wonderfulness that feels like I have some power.
Gosh, I'm looking at David White's words, and I'm seeing that in the light of what you just said, this, in the light of your drawing attention to the way that we, by being conscious, can choose where we pay attention and can choose the intention with which we bring ourselves to the world, which is so different from what happens in the world, but we can comport ourselves in particular ways. We can stand in relationship to the whole of life in particular ways, and we have an enormous amount of choice about that, as you're saying. So I'm reading David White, and I can so see how you could read this poem, the visible and invisible working together in common cause to produce the awful. you know, and so are. So what we have to do in this life is find the shape of ourselves by forming it badly to the great intangibles about us or something. So you could, by shifting the tone of the poem, you can start to see again reflected another way exactly what you're saying. And I'm always so moved when you express the way that you see goodness and the way that you see love and the way that you see the great wondrous creativity and hopefulness that there can be in us in any circumstance, in any situation that's available to us. And so now I'm reading, because of what you said, I'm reading the end of this poem in this way to say that our work is to find the true shape of our own self by forming it well to the great intangibles. Forming it well is a choice. Not completely up to us, but we have a really large part in it. And we can form ourselves in relationships to the great intangibles in ways that diminish our freedom, diminish our care for one another, diminish our creativity, diminish our integrity. That's entirely possible. We see it all the time. We see it in ourselves all the time. And one of the reasons I'm so grateful for this conversation and for David is, of course, there are reasons why for some others it would be helpful if we formed ourselves badly. We'd be more easily manipulated. We'd be more easily controlled. We'd give up on ourselves more easily. And then that's a way of keeping certain kinds of ways of being in power going and all of that. But there's also our sort of inherent dignity and choicefulness, and we can bring that. And now I want to sort of think about the great intangibles, and then I want to be, how do I form myself well to this conversation, and how do I form myself well to my family? How do I form myself well in relationship to bigger circumstances in the world that are beyond my control but impact me very deeply? Can I form myself well in relationship to them? And I think the answer is yes. And it takes supporting one another and listening to one, and it takes many others, and then it takes this work that we've been so dedicated to, that we've talked about so many times, Lizzie, and that is, I know, at the heart of everything that we're doing in Third Space as well, which is, can we each learn to find and cultivate and be in contact with the essential goodness of being a human? Because that's a choice too. We can attend to that, or we can attend to the much darker, more destructive forces in ourselves and grow them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really, really important choice, because the kind of people we become and the kind of world we make in response to the giant intangibles starts there. We can make worlds that tear everyone apart, or we can make worlds that welcome ourselves and one another with great dignity. And this is not a question of, will I have a nice life, or will I, you know, will be happy. It's not a question of well-being, or it's got all of those in it. But it's much, much bigger than how my life turns out for me. It turns out that this is a question about how we together make something that is also honors the non-human world, which of course is the part of the great intangibles.
Yeah. My gosh, I think this is probably a very beautiful kind of thread, not to end on, but to hang out there as a thread, which is what the impact on the world is of knowing our own goodness, what the impact is on our own world, but also on what we make. Like, if we were really, really in touch with our own goodness, what kind of choices would we make? What kind of ways would we see the world? How would a flower really impact us? How would someone's eyes look to us if we really knew the depth and profundity of our own goodness? So yeah, I'm really grateful for this, really grateful for David and this wondering. It feels like we've opened up a whole other can of worms or something about goodness. An amazing way of trying to speak about something that's also hard to speak about through a poem and a source. I so appreciate this way of doing this as well, Justin, that we have this wonderful opening from someone else, and then we get to hold it in this triangle. So David, if you're ever listening, or if you ever see that we've been in conversation about your wonderful work, hello and thank you from our hearts to yours. And Justin, thank you for your openness and your way of being in all of the things that we bring together. And thank you everybody for being here too and listening and being in our community with us. And I long to meet more of you soon, as I always do. And we'll see you next week with another source.
Bye, everyone.